talking some college hoops right now and some Maryland athletics with a man in the know, Jeff Barker of the Baltimore Sun. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good. Busy, as usual, but good.
Busy, yes, indeed. Maryland off to South Bend, Indiana. Are you heading there, Jeff?
Oh, no, this is, they're right here at Comcast.
Oh, they're at Comcast, right.
I will certainly be there.
Absolutely. I don't know why I wrote in my notes at, I said at 7. I don't know why I said at South Bend. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Unfortunately, the Terps, believe me, the way the Terps have been playing on the road, they do not want to be in South Bend. They want to be in front of their home fans.
It may not matter altogether right now, Jeff. I can't get really the line on this, but the fact that Maryland looked really good against Tech, they get to 2-0 in the ACC, Seth Allen's back, and there's really some warm, fuzzy feelings. And you look around the ACC, Duke, Carolina, NC State at the time, all 0-1.
Yeah.
And then really quickly, almost unexplicably, they just have two laughers in a row.
Yeah, the good feelings really disappeared in a hurry. But, you know, that's a good lesson because I really feel like, you know, people often want to make too much of a team at any given point of a season. Things can turn. So, you know, I think I think Maryland wasn't ready to go on the road and play against two really good teams. And I think a big part of it is their inside game. I mean, Florida State always is tall and long and tough, and always is among the top five in defense in the country. So that's what Maryland ran into. Not to mention Florida State made 16 threes. Florida State had made 10 out of 50 threes, and I think was 1 for 11 on threes. So go figure, they make 16 to 24 when they go against the Terps.
Figure this one out for me, Jeff. Set down in a loss is a pretty good night at Pitt, and then a few days later goes 0 for 8 from the field. He had 18 points against Pitt, I believe. He has 1 point, or excuse me, he finishes with 1 point, one rebound, and three assists against Florida State.
Yeah, and I mean, and he was, you know, he came up flat, but so did a lot of his teammates also, and it is hard to figure. Now, the one thing, if you give Seth Allen a pass at all, it's because Turgeon says he's still 3 weeks away from being 100%, just because he still is coming off the fractured foot. So maybe he gets a pass there, but they need him so desperately again because they're not getting any production, you know, from their front court. I mean, Charles Mitchell and Shaq Clear, I love those guys. They're great guys to interview, but they're not, you know, they're not really producing the way people hope that they would in their sophomore season.
Do you think it's an effort thing with this team? I hear the words flat being thrown out around a lot these days with Maryland basketball. I don't know if that inherently means effort. It could mean a lot of things altogether. Or is it schematics, or is it just the players and talent that are in the program right now?
I don't think it's effort, and I know that there was a little fuss that on the ESPN broadcast that Jay Williams had said maybe they were tight. I don't know if it's that. I really think it's that the Turgeon's teams have to do two things. They have to play really good defense, and that was his recipe for success at Texas A&M, and Maryland's not playing great defense now. And they also have to do what Gary's teams always did, which is have kind of inside-outside where – you know, you start the ball in the post, and then, you know, the defense collapses and you kick it out. Well, if your front court isn't a threat, then the defense doesn't really care about collapsing on anybody. So they're not accomplishing either of those things.
You know, Jeff, I'm not one of those guys that throws around ridiculous things in a whim and in a vacuum about a team or a program and without seeing the broader scope, maybe some historical perspective. Right now, this Maryland team's at 10-7. They are 2-2. In the ACC, they have some absolutely horrendous losses this year that they'll not get off their resume, like losing at home to Boston University. They've had back-to-back 20-point defeats. There's a sense I have that this team could be heading for one of the worst Maryland basketball seasons in some time.
It's possible. Now, here's the thing. I think we're going to know pretty soon because they've got a stretch of about six games where they have a lot of winnable games in there and a lot of home games. Now, they started out, they played three out of their first four ACC games on the road. So three out of their next four are at home, starting with Notre Dame, who they should be. Now, if they lose tomorrow, that's a terrible sign. They've left themselves no margin for error at home. They have to basically almost win all of their home games, with the exception maybe of Syracuse, you know, which is obviously one of the top teams in the country. So we'll see, because after these six games that I think are mostly winnable, they got Pitt in there at home, which is hard. then they go down to Charlottesville and Cameron Indoor Stadium. Maryland almost never wins at Virginia or at Duke, where they, you know, Duke's won 26 in a row at Cameron now. So if they don't come out of this of these six games with at least four or five wins, they're in deep trouble.
And right now, when does that hot seat really get turned up on Mark Turgeon? Are we still like a year away from something like that happening?
I know that the fans, I know that the people are starting to talk about that, and I try to look at it realistically. He's got an 8-year contract. You know, for a while, I was thinking he had a 6-year deal because that's what Randy Edsall has, but he's got an 8-year deal, you know, and he's in year three. Now, here's, I think, why he's not on the hot seat, and that's because he's got a top 10 recruiting class coming in next year. So that's kind of a buffer for him, you know, because, you know, he and his staff recruited all these guys, so I don't think, you know, you don't want to, I mean, they don't want to fire him anyways, but you don't want to fire a guy and then have him not take advantage and see what he can do with this good class. So I think that's you know, gonna save him. If, you know, maybe other things will as well.
Jeff Barker from the Baltimore Sun with us for another few minutes here on WBAL. And Jeff, give us one big thing that Maryland needs to do better for them to improve and perhaps get to 8-8 or better in the ACC.
Yeah, I would say this. Before the season began, I just looked at the odds and I said, okay, so you've got Shaq Clear and you've got Charles Mitchell, two big guys. You know, one of the others usually going to start. It's been Shaq Clear lately. So I say, I figured one of those two has got to really step up big. So I'm going to say that again, that for them to, you know, to make something of this season, they're going to have one of those guys step up big. Or else, you know, if they continue to get nothing from the front court, they're going to be in trouble.
And then the other big Maryland athletic story today, they file a countersuit against the ACC for $157 million. Explain this to us, Jeff, in layman's terms, if you could.
Yeah, they actually was just reading the counterclaim. So the 157 sounds kind of random, but it actually is not. What it is that Maryland you know, has to pay, or it does. It claims it doesn't, but the ACC says it does have to pay an exit fee for going to the Big Ten of about $52 million. So Maryland is contesting that and saying it's punitive and random and we shouldn't have to pay it. What Maryland has done is it said this is a violation of antitrust laws, and so the reason it's seeking the 157 is it tripled the 52, which is what you do in antitrust cases. So you know what? It all comes down to the exit fee. I mean, everything comes down to Maryland said it's leaving for the Big Ten. Does it have to pay the ACC all of this money, which Maryland says is, you know, is punitive?
What's your sense of this and whether or not Maryland does have to pay an exit fee?
You know, I think they're going to have to pay something. It's just a question of what. And I was told by people who know a lot more about this stuff than I do that these things almost always settle. So I guess it's still going to settle, but it doesn't seem headed that way right this moment when Maryland is, you know, is filing 53-page counterclaims. But ultimately, I'll just say that's the way these things usually end up.
Fascinating stuff from Jeff Barker, Maryland beat reporter for the Baltimore Sun. Jeff, enjoy the game tomorrow night in College Park.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brad.
That's Jeff Barker. We'll come back with more next here on Sportsline.